Greetings and welcome to another edition of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. My name is Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And no band today, one guy that, I don't know, probably people have heard of. It's kind of funny to have this on our list. It's almost more for us than it is for the general population. Maybe for our listeners. I'm doing a lot of setup on this one.
Well, I agree. This was a challenge for us. I think this was something we threw down the gauntlet for each other and said, yes, we're going to do this.
Yeah. That artist, that musician, well, that performer, his name is Kanye West. Now, I know what you're saying. You're saying, wait a minute, don't you guys usually pick, like, lesser-known bands and artists to do, or artists who we maybe only know two or three songs from? Well, going into this, him and I probably only knew a couple, two or three songs by Kanye West. Maybe a couple more than that, but not a lot. It was definitely a new experience for me, for the most part.
Yeah, this was an education for me as well. I mean, making complete reference to his first three albums.
An education, right, there you go. Going into this, we're kind of in the place that we want our listeners to be for a majority of our shows. We want you to be somewhat largely unfamiliar with it. And this is a good one because there's really two Kanyes. There's the public figure Kanye, which I think everybody's familiar with. You know, I'm going to let you finish, but the public figure Kanye is the loudest figure Kanye. Anyway, but I mean, I think that's an important distinction, is that there's the public figure Kanye West, and then there's the musician Kanye West. And I think, at least in my life, the public figure overshadowed the hip-hop performer so much that I didn't seek out his music. I didn't look for Kanye stuff to listen to.
Yeah, it was weird. This was a new experience for me too, because I had not actively gone out and sought him, because pop culture, public Kanye was so overbearing and hard to kind of accept that I didn't even want to give him the time of day based on what his behaviors and public persona was. Yeah. And now, having listened to this, I respect him as an artist, but that public persona still colors a lot of my thoughts.
Does it? Okay. I think I was able to really distance public Kanye versus rapper Kanye.
Yeah, but then you have rapper Kanye trying to cover Bohemian Rhapsody, which...
Well, sure. Yeah, well, and there's a few hits and misses in there too.
Yeah.
But all right, well, let's talk about this. This whole background and history and discography of Kanye. And I think so far we still haven't come close to saying Kanye as many times as Kanye says Kanye in Kanye's music.
I tried to come up with other ways, Mr. West. I kept trying to come up with things, but after a while, I just gave up.
And Jesus. We could call him.
After a while, I just figured Brian could figure out how to cover it from that point on.
We'll call him Kanye. He's an American rapper, singer, songwriter, producer, fashion designer, and entrepreneur. He was born June 8th, 1977. His father was a former Black Panther, and his mother was a professor of English at Clark Atlanta University. And after his parents divorced, she was the chair of the English department at the Chicago State University. When she retired, she actually became Kanye's manager. Although he was born in Atlanta, he was raised predominantly in Chicago. He started writing poetry when he was 5. He also showed a talent for art by 3rd grade. At the age of 13, West wrote a rap song called Green Eggs and Ham and began to persuade his mother to pay $25 an hour for time in a recording studio. It was a small, crude basement studio where a microphone hung from the ceiling by a wire clothes hanger. And although this wasn't what West's mother wanted, she nonetheless, as a doting mother, supported him. He went to art school on a scholarship for a short time before he left to pursue his musical career. And this action greatly upset his mother, who was also a professor at the university. She later commented that, quote, "It was drummed into my head that college is the ticket to a good life. But some career goals don't require college. For Kanye to make an album called College Dropout, it was more about having the guts to embrace who you are rather than following the path that society had carved out for you." Throughout his releases, he has put out albums that touched on various musical styles. Of course, talking about the public Kanye, we all know he's outspoken. He's become a frequent source of controversy. For example, the George Bush doesn't care about black people comment during the that live Katrina charity broadcast.
Mike Myers looked like he got hit with a brick in the head after he said it.
He looks like he could have gotten knocked over by an ant sneeze. Like he just looked like, okay, I'm going to keep reading from the teleprompter.
Poor Mike Myers didn't see that coming.
He really didn't. And then, of course, we alluded to earlier, the Taylor Swift. I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had the greatest music video of all time.
So
all that stuff, et cetera.
With everything going on with pop culture Kanye and with his marriage and his kids and all that kind of stuff, we at times will bring this up, but I really wanted to, as I was doing the notes, to steer toward and lean into the albums and lean into the art.
So yeah, what
we didn't spend too much time dwelling on this, because then it doesn't serve the purpose we're trying to do. So it does get brushed on, but it's not I really tried to lean away from it.
Cool. I agree with that. And I appreciate that. I think I prefer that we talk more about the music than the public Kanye. As getting a few other things out of the way, kind of under that header though. He's collaborated with Nike, Louis Vuitton, and APC as a clothing designer. His most notable work was with Adidas and the Yeezy line, which was released in 2013. He founded a creative content company called Donda in 2014. And I don't know if you know this, Hammond. This is going to blow your mind. He's actually married to Kim Kardashian.
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. we gotta put that out there. There might be somebody out there who didn't know this.
Well, if they are, God bless them.
Sorry to burst your bubble. Kanye's first production credit was in 1996 when he produced 8 tracks for a rapper named Grav. He formed and was the producer of the Go-Getters, a late 90s Chicago rap group. In 1999, they released their only album called World Record Holders.
So I imagine the Go-Getters to be kind of like New Edition, if just in my brain.
Sure. Right. Just visualizing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, New Edition was kind of more soul, was more, I would say, less hip hop and more.
Okay. So maybe we're thinking Another Bad Creation or.
Yeah. Maybe something like that. Right. Right. I don't know. You're right. I mean, the Go-Getters, that doesn't come across to me as a typical rap group name.
Mm-hmm.
The Little Lebowski Urban Achievers, you know. Anyway, in 2000, he became a producer for Rockefeller Records, where while he was there, he produced hit singles for Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. And of course, he saw a lot of success as a producer, but he wanted to be a rapper himself.
He also worked with Ludacris and Janet Jackson and Eminem and Jermaine Dupri, all while working as a producer. So he got to rub elbows with a lot of, you know, heavy hitters and big names early on in his career to help establish relationships, which he uses fully throughout all of his albums.
Yeah, so many guest stars, so many amazing and kind of unexpected guest stars. I love that. I think that's really cool. In October of 2002, he was in a near-fatal car accident. His jaw had to be wired shut. He went into the studio while it was still wired closed and recorded Through the Wire. Da-da-da, get the name. That was the start of what would be his debut album. That debut album was the Get Well Soon mixtape. Came out in 2002.
So mm-hmm. Get Well, so the mixtapes weren't really the debut album. It was this collection of tracks that he'd worked on, but the Through the Wire actually made its appearance on there first.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. So not really an album.
Yeah.
Or just
it's a mixtape
collection.
Yeah.
Right. Mixtape. Let's talk about the real first album then, College Dropout, which came out in 2004. It was released to commercial and critical success. He also founded the record label Good Music.
The new workout plan, the song on that album, took me so much by surprise. Because it was basically like an homage to early 80s workout tapes. Like, I kept waiting for what's his name? With the hair? Simmons. Richard Simmons.
Oh, Richard Simmons.
A Richard Simmons sample.
I didn't know where you were going. Like,
no.
Another rap artist?
No.
Another,
I kept waiting for Richard Simmons samples to get dropped in. And get them sit-ups right in. Tuck your tummy tight in. Do your crunches like this. Give head, stop, breathe it up. Check your weave. Don't drop the blunder, disrespect the weed. Pick up your center, disrespect your seed. It's a party tonight. And
she's so excited. Tell me who. Oh, that would have been great too. Yeah, and that's like about halfway through the album, and you've gotten, you know, a really cool and unusual I'll Fly Away cover, like a classic folk song cover on there. You've got the obviously Workout Plan, Breathe In, Breathe Out, School Spirit. You got a lot of skits. You know, mm-hmm. It's funny. That was the thing I was trying to get to. So many of these early two or three albums had these skits interlaced in with the songs, and they'd lead into them. Obviously they were related to them, but you don't see that so much in the later albums, and you don't see that in a lot of other hip hop bands. I really like that. I like that kind of those little interjections between the songs.
Yeah, it really did take me by surprise. I was kind of, for when it first came on, like the intros, I'm like, okay, I get it. I've heard that before. But when it came as interstitially throughout, I was really surprised by that.
Yeah. And you almost don't notice some of them unless you're actually watching the track names mm-hmm. on the player or your digital player, whatever you're listening to them on, because some of them blend in so well into the song that they follow or they precede that you'd think it'd be part of the song. Some guest stars on here, Talib Kweli and Common, Jamie Foxx, Mos Def, the Harlem Boys Choir, Jay-Z, Jay Ivey. A lot of guest stars.
So just we're
on
talking
this first album. A lot of guest stars.
We're talking Mos Def that was in 16 Blocks, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Great movie, by the way.
Do you know other Mos Defs?
There could be others. I don't know.
There could be others. That's true. All right. Yeah. True. Before the College Dropout album was officially released, the album was leaked, and West used this as a chance to review the album and actually remix it. So he came out with a second version. He dropped some songs from the album, added refinements, new drums, new verses, and the release was postponed 3 times. Shortly after it was finally released, it reached number 2 on the charts. And Through the Wire, as we mentioned, was the first single. Slow Jams was released as the second single, proved to be a huge success, reaching number 1. The album topped many of critics and fans' year-end lists, and during this time, he produced songs for Brandy, Common, and John Legend.
One of these things is not like the others.
I don't know. I mean, I think that they're all in the milieu, you know, not just soul, but hip-hop. And
okay, you're right. And, yeah. And frankly, if you've got a good ear as a producer, then mm-hmm. you've got a good ear as a producer. And the other thing is if you're trying to make your sound more contemporary, you're going to go to a guy who's having contemporary hits juice up your sound to sound, you know, to get it to pop.
Yeah. Yep. Next year, he released Late Registration, 2005. He invested $2 million and over a year to create the second album. So I guess we just pray like the ministers say. Alu Akbar, throwing some hot cars. The things we seen on the screen, it's not ours. But these niggas from the hood, so these dreams not far. Where I'm from, the dope boys is the rock stars. But they can't cop cars without seeing cop cars. I guess they want us all behind bars. I know it. He reported that he was inspired by the band Portishead during this time, which is really interesting, like a trip-hop inspiration. And I can totally hear that on mm-hmm. some of these.
Oh, yeah.
I love Portishead, so it's cool to hear that he got inspired by them.
So the song Diamonds Are Forever, mm-hmm. nearly.
The Sierra Leone, yeah.
Yeah, that nearly made my list.
Well, I'm glad it didn't, because it made mine, and that would have been... That would have been 2 songs that,
but that we would have had to fight. It took over. Me by surprise. I wasn't paying any attention, and then I hear it. Mm-hmm. And it goes for a while before he kind of kicks in.
It does. You get so much of the song and Shirley Bassey's vocals before it actually begins, before you actually get the song. So
I wish he'd done Goldfinger, though. Personally.
Well, you know, there's always future albums, right? But again, yeah, you get skits on here. You get Jamie Foxx coming back again for Gold Digger. You get Adam Levine doing guest vocals, Common, The Game, Brandy, who he produced, Nas, Jay-Z, like again, a lot of great guest stars on this one.
He wears out the FEAT period. A lot.
Oh, I was like trying to think of what that stood for, but yeah, the featuring so-and-so featuring. Yeah, he totally does. It's funny how prominent, I was talking with somebody about that when we were talking about Kanye West and rap music, how prominent, I mean, that had to have started with rap and hip hop, because otherwise we would have gotten Peter Gabriel featuring Kate Bush, Games Without Frontiers, or Dire Straits featuring Sting, Money for Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a way to kind of get your name out there and get stuff on your resume. For sure. Hired a string section for late registration. And he collaborated with John Bryan, who we've talked about before on the Posies episode, who also served as co-producer for late registration. The album sold 2.3 million units and was called the only successful album released of the season. The industry had been suffering from declining sales.
That's insane, thinking about that many records being sold or that many CDs being sold in 2005 with the boon of not just online sales, but like piracy and sharing and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Cause this would have been, right around the time of all that stuff kind of coming into play and iPods and Napster and, file sharing and stuff like that. In 2006, Kanye spent time touring with U2. This inspired him to write anthemic rap songs. He started experimenting with 80s style electronic music, and he said that he was inspired by Zeppelin and the Stones in terms of melody and musical structure. He also listened to Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash to strengthen his wordplay and storytelling. 2 years later, he released Graduation. It debuted at number one, sold over 900,000 copies in the first week. Stronger was the first single released from that and was another number one hit. That's how long I've been on ya. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Kind of inspired by the Daft Punk song, borrows sampling from the Daft Punk song. Ben Dietrich of Double XL called this album a watershed moment in hip hop, which I can see.
Yep.
2007, he also released the Can't Tell Me Nothing mixtape, another mixtape release, which featured Stronger, Throw Some D's, and The People. In 2008, he started to sing more using auto-tune, which kind of became a central part of his musical soundscape in the next decade. Like it was something that he kind of carries through with him even to this day.
And it's interesting how there's this love-hate relationship with auto-tune. There's a part of me that kind of, when they turn it up and kind of lean into it, and it's more like a vocoder instead of auto-tune, I'm okay with it. But when they're using it to try to hide the fact that they don't know what they're doing, then I'm like, okay, you're cheating.
Exactly. Totally. And man, the first song ever, and I think the first song a lot of people ever remember hearing auto-tune was Cher's Believe. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was a moment where it was, maybe we want to figure out a way to strengthen Cher's vocals and her pitch, but also kind of make a little bit of a style choice out of it. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's kind of gone in both different directions, both as a crutch and as a style choice.
It just made me realize we should have run this whole episode through auto-tune. We'd all sound
about that ability?
I don't know. I might figure it out. If it happens, it's because I figured it out. If it didn't, then I've let you down as all as listeners. But we could both be T-painting it right now.
I'm on a boat. Yeah. Okay. In 2008, he released 808s and Heartbreaks. This was my favorite album, or at least this was the album where it just started like kicking in for me. I'm like, oh, I'm liking this a lot. All right, I'm totally digging this. The majority of 808s was recorded in Hawaii in about 3 weeks. It features extensive use of the Roland 808 drum machine,
which we have mentioned numerous times on this show. Yeah. And I will once again say that documentary is awesome. Go get it and watch it.
Oh, I need to. I still haven't. The album contains themes of love and loss, and the reviews were positive, but a little bit more mixed than the first three albums. This album actually had a significant effect on hip-hop by encouraging others to take more creative risks. So you saw some influence on other musicians from this. He was scheduled to tour with Lady Gaga, but it was canceled due to outrage after that whole VMA Taylor Swift award incident. 2010, he released My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Treble listed this as one of the 10 essential modern prog albums.
Yes, it did, which was shocking to me.
Was on there?
Okay, so this list also includes Kevin Gilbert's Shaming of the True. It includes Tool, Dillinger Escape Plan, Mars Volta, Matador, Porcupine Tree, Mastodon, Coheed and Cambria, and Justice.
Wow. Okay, so prog was not expecting us to go a prog direction with Kanye today.
Yeah, no, it took me by surprise when I was doing research, and I kept thinking, how is this possible? But then the next line.
Because it contains King Crimson samples. King Crimson samples.
But also, if you pay attention to it, it is super proggy in the way it's structured and it's done, and it takes these kind of leaps and tonal changes that you expect to hear from progressive rock. And this one was my favorite.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Let's see. It also includes Jay-Z, Kid Cudi, and Justin Vernon. They all contributed to the album. It was released to widespread critical acclaim, and a lot of people called it his best work.
This album kind of touched on the topics of celebrity and excess, which, hey, if anyone's going to do that album, it would be Kanye.
He is very familiar with both of those topics and the combination of those topics.
Yeah. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
The system broken, the school's closed, the prison's open. We ain't got nothing. The song All of the Lights, Power, Monster, and Runaway were all singles and all hits from this album.
And he released a 35-minute film that he also directed in and starred in with the name Runaway.
There you go, celebrity in excess.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's that ego that you just can't quite get right with. Right. Like, I'm sure it's a fine film, but I that's the ego part where you just go like, oh, come on, did you really have to do that?
It isn't. I mean, if Kevin Gilbert were to have released a 35-minute Shaming of the True,
well, but he might not have directed it too. He might have put that in someone else's hands.
It's the fact that it's directed and starring, and
it's written by, starring, produced, scored by,
sure,
casted by,
stand in for Mr. West.
Yes,
Mr. West.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. All right. I guess I kind of see that. I don't know. As a podcaster, we kind of both are like that, though. Like, we're producer and host and writer and editor. And
you draw an interesting line, but there's a difference between DIY and EGO.
Yeah. Well, we do it because we have to. He does it right. I see what you're saying. Totally. The album went on to be certified platinum. However, it wasn't nominated for Album of the Year at the 54th Annual Grammys. This was seen as a snub by a lot of media outlets, which I could see.
Yes, but also we need to remember this is the same group of people that gave Jethro Tull the first Grammy for heavy metal.
Right. Yeah. Was it Metallica that gave the award? Or no, it was Foo Fighters? Who was it that actually was up there?
I don't remember who did it, but their faces were gold because they're like, and the winner goes to Jethro Tull.
Right, because Metallica was actually in the running for it.
Yeah, and they performed, too.
Right. I'll have to go look that up. That's crazy. In 2010, he was on VH1 Storytellers.
Okay, did you listen to this one?
No, I didn't. I was going to, and I didn't.
Okay, he makes some comments at the beginning of Storytellers, which I'm going to cut right in here. Here they come right now.
So many people get caught up in trying to remake their first album, and it's impossible for me to make another College Dropout, but I could make the best graduation and best 808s that I could make. And that's how I think you keep on advancing as an artist. So few, you know, hip hop artists have ever advanced. Their songs, you know, on their 7th, 8th album sound exactly like the songs on their first album. More than an artist, I'm a real person, and real people grow. And I wanted to sing my growth.
I hope you enjoyed them.
Oh, those were great.
Yeah. So basically what he talks about is how a lot of artists, rap artists in particular, come out and they don't change. They don't evolve. They don't push themselves. And he makes this comment about pushing himself and becoming better. And it was profound, especially coming from him. because you think of the person, the media stunts and the ego and all the things that kind of he's known for. But when you hear him talk like this, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. Your mom taught college and you were raised to be a thinker and you're actually paying attention to the things you're doing. It feels now that everything he does is almost calculated.
I felt like that from like about a third of the way into this. Mm-hmm. I felt like, all right, this isn't just happy accidents, man. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's causing with certain controversies. Mm-hmm. I think I give him a lot more credit now than I did before.
I sent you that text that I said, I might be considering that he's the genius that he keeps telling us he is.
That's so totally true too. Yeah. Totally agree with that. Also in 2011, Kanye did some extensive touring. In 2011, again, continuing 2011, he released Watch the Throne, which was a collaborative album with Jay-Z.
And the song In Paris, which I loved, but I can't sing along with, makes me realize that he's exceedingly self-aware of the things he does and is using that to his advantage to stay in the forefront. Like me, can you please remind me? Fall so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know that, don't shit phase. And as we go, 0 for 82, when I look at you like this shit crazy. Fall so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even pro be here. Fall so hard since we here. It's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm libo to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson. Sure. The album was released digitally weeks ahead of the physical release. It was one of the few major label albums that avoided a leak that way. Kanye and Jay-Z set off on a co-headlining tour from October of 2011. Now that was last week, Coheed and Cambria.
Co-headlining. Sure, I like that. Nicely done. And I see what you mean by In Paris. Not the full title, but as much of the title as you're going to hear.
Oh, no, I'm not, believe me, no.
2012, a compilation album called Cruel Summer was released. It was a collection of tracks from his record label, Good Music. Featured four singles. Kanye also directed a movie with the same title that made its premiere at Cannes in a custom pyramid-shaped pavilion with seven screens.
Celebrity in excess.
Yeah, that's great though. All right. You know, at some point you're doing this and when you see all of it and kind of see how there's a thought behind it, there's a plan behind it, you kind of just have to smile and shake your head as opposed to rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, okay,
that's so Kanye, you know, becomes a repeatable phrase.
I mean, it's almost like a sitcom at this point.
It is, right. That's so Kanye. A custom pyramid shaped pavilion with seven screens. That's so Kanye. Yeah. In 2013, he released the album Yeezus, which is kind of a playoff of Kanye and people calling him Ye, and finally just stretched that out to Yeezus or Yeezus. I don't know. 15 days before it was released, Wes called Rick Rubin to help him strip the album's sound down to a more minimalist sound. Wow, yeah, that's down to the wire.
Yeah, it's his willingness to collaborate with other people, not just other rappers, that actually is pretty amazing and kind of speaks to his willingness to kind of experiment and take chances and risks. Mm-hmm. And it's something I really admire because with as fickle as the pop music culture and tastes are, a wrong guess and you're kind of out on your ear. So the fact that he's willing to kind of tinker and mess with and take these risks says an awful lot because, again, they're fickle and it won't take much for them to just go, all right, we're moving on to something else.
Yeah. Yeah, totally true. And I think, you know, obviously he puts the highest regard into other musicians, fellow artists, mm-hmm. fellow performers. I think that, you know, in his lyrics, you can hear that he's got some disdain for politics, for media, for society, things like that. But
which is weird because he needs it so much. He embraces it and is in part of it so much that disdain plus that kind of desire to be in it is kind of a contradiction in and of itself.
Yeah, it totally is. For sure. The album Yeezus was his sixth It was his sixth consecutive number one, and it was released to rave reviews all around the world. The tour in support of the album was written about in Rolling Stone, quote, crazily entertaining, hugely ambitious, emotionally affecting, really, and most importantly, totally bonkers. Again, you can't expect it. Oh, that's so Kanye. Yeah. on New Year's Eve 2014, he released Only One as a single. This featured Paul McCartney. And then the next year, or the next month, he released 4 or 5 Seconds, which was a bigger collaborative single produced with Rihanna and Paul McCartney as well.
See, I had no idea he'd done that. Did you?
I did. I remember when that came out and thinking, what an interesting title. Because a few people have covered it. And I always look at that and say, is that a typo? And then I look back and I found it. In 2015, he was awarded an honorary doctorate by the School of the Art Institute of Chicago for his contributions to music, fashion, and pop culture. He headlined the Glastonbury Festival in 2015, in spite of a petition signed by 135,000 people who were all against it. Towards the end of the set, West proclaimed himself the greatest living rock star on the planet.
It's far more acceptable when other people say it about you.
Yeah, for sure. But when you say it about yourself.
Yeah. Hello. Also, just think about, roll back. Let's see. That was in 2015. Roll back to the end of 2014, beginning of 2015. Who was he working with? Oh, Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. As far as the greatest living rock star of all time. Yeah. Good point. The reviews, by the way, of that Glastonbury Festival performance were mixed. In September of 2015, he played 808s and Heartbreaks live at the Hollywood Bowl, included a 60-person orchestra, live band, guests, and more than 70 dancers. Talk about totally bonkers.
And once again, that's so Kanye.
That's so Kanye. In 2016, The Life of Pablo was released, his most recent album, full album, I should say. Before the release of the album, it went through multiple name changes and was also delayed from its original release date. Even after the album's streaming release, he continued to tinker with the mixes. And in June of 2016, he released Champions and then released the controversial video for Famous.
I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous.
Goddamn.
I made that bitch famous. For all the girls that got dick from Kanye West. If you see him in the streets, give him Kanye's best. Why? They mad they ain't famous.
Goddamn.
They mad they still nameless.
Talk that talk, man.
A man. Which showed, you remember this one totally, had a bunch of wax figures of several celebrities sleeping nude in a bed, including Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, I think it might even be in there.
And Taylor.
Oh, Taylor Swift. Yes. Yep, exactly.
His friend, Swifty.
T. Swifty.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. There's the lyric where he says, I made you, or I made Taylor Swift. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's probably not one of his statistics, but tell
no,
me
it's not. So this stuff all, I'm gonna throw all my cards on the table. This all took me by surprise, what I'm about to read.
Okay. All right.
He's one of the most acclaimed rappers of the 21st century and one of the best-selling artists of all time. He's sold more than 32 million albums and over 100 million digital downloads worldwide. He's won 21 Grammy Awards, making him one of the most decorated artists of all time. Wow. He has three of his albums are listed in Rolling Stone's in 2012's Rolling Stone list of 500 greatest albums of all time. And he has been listed in Forbes annual list a number of times and listed him as one of the most influential people in the world in 2005 and in 2015.
That's amazing.
So,
wow. Okay.
Like I've said before, this all took me by surprise. And regardless of how I feel like about his pop culture persona, the guy's got something going on and he's successful as hell for it.
He's very aware of what he's doing and knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Good for him. Totally good for him. All right. So let's say you go see one of his totally bonkers performances, which now I kind of want to.
Yeah. Next year's album. That's so Kanye.
That's so Kanye. Exactly. What song are you guaranteed that he's can perform? This is a little bit tougher because, while he hasn't had as many albums as some of our other artists we've talked about on the show, he has dipped his fingers in so many different pies that you don't know which direction he might go for that.
Mm-hmm. So I chose Stronger, Power, Runaway, then Black Skinhead, and Through the Wire. And I kind of figure like Through the Wire is the one that's going to be the winner.
Shut down, what's going on? Yeah, I drink a boost for breakfast, an insure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man bizzard. Not to worry, Mr. Ace to the Izzles back to wizard. How do you console my mom? Give a light
just because of its longevity, because it's been around the longest.
Yeah.
And I would also throw Amazing in there, too.
Okay, all right.
But we'll have to see. All right, so I've got setlist.fm pulled up. And all right, number one. Jesus Walks, Can't Tell Me Nothing, then Stronger is number three, Good Life, Touch the Sky, Power, Heartless. Heartless would have been, yeah, one of the ones I believed. And then All of the Lights tied with that, with Flashing Lights.
Oh, so good for
Gold
him.
Digger, number 11. Yeah, it's so tough because do you go with pop hits? Do you go with hip hop? You know, what's popular with hip hop, that sort of thing. There's a lot of different directions. But I'm surprised Black Skinhead, I guess just because it's so recent, doesn't appear in here until about number 14.
Oh, okay.
But, all right. Next up, we like to talk about who we'd like to hear them cover. And for me, it was one that was kind of inspired. I was thinking a lot about this earlier in the week when I was listening to Coldest Winter specifically, which is a song where he takes the melody and some of the lyrics from Tears for Fears, Memories Fade, and makes a new song out of it. And it's so popular now that Tears for Fears actually performs the additional Kanye lyrics in concert. It's kind of like, what's a good example of this? I want to say like the Beatles, if they were performing, She Came In Through the Bathroom Window as Joe Cocker, or Get By With a Little Help from My Friends. Oh, here's a great example. Bob Dylan now does, when he performs All Along the Watchtower in concert, it's absolutely more the Jimi Hendrix version than his original version.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's other examples of this, and I think that makes me like that song a little bit more, for sure. But so I was kind of going along the 80s New Romantic style, and decided Duran Duran's Save a Prayer, it would be interesting to hear Kanye do a take on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, now that you said that, I kind of on the same boat. When you first put it in there, I was a little skeptical, but the more we've talked,
have I sold it?
Yeah, I think you've kind of sold it.
Good. Nice. All right, how about you?
Okay, so mine's further out of the left field than yours mm-hmm. is. I picked To Cemetery Gates by Pantera, and that's because it's got this really mellow, kind of almost acoustic-y sounding verse, and then this hard rocking kind of chorus. And so I figured he could kind of rap the verse and then auto-tune sing the chorus and really lean into the auto-tune. Right. And he totally takes risks with stuff. And I would love to see who he'd work with this. Cause I mean, Dimebag's dead. So he wouldn't be able to use the original guitar player, but I could see him pulling in, you know, Lord knows anybody.
Slash,
hey, Dave Mustaine, what are you doing?
There you go.
So, yeah. I mean, but I would love to see who you do it with, but I'd love to see if he'd actually be able to pull this off in the way I hear it in my head. Cause I think it'd be good. And my head's telling me that I got something here.
That's cool. Yeah, I like that. That's an interesting choice. I need to go back and listen to that song because I'm not as familiar with Pantera as
you should be.
As I should be. Is there a should be?
Yeah.
But I know Pantera. I know their style. So
yeah. Season 5.
There you go. Oh gosh. All right. To get into our playlist, this is where we pick 5 songs that would make our playlist or that we'd add to anybody else's playlist if they didn't already include them. There may be a couple hits on here. I'm fine with that. I mean, you know, I was tempted to have All of the Lights on here or some of the other ones, Black Skinhead, I kind of like. The first one for me is from Yeezus. It's called Bound 2.
What you doing in the club on a Thursday? She said she only here for a girl birthday. They order champagne, but
and kind of what I like about it is that it's a very slow building vibe, and I kind of totally dig that. Next one we talked about a little bit ago, Diamonds from Sierra Leone.
The rock is still alive every time I rhyme. People lose hands, legs, arms for real.
Which is from Late Registration. I mean, it's Diamonds Are Forever, right? I mean, they use the entire background music. They use the whole verses from at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it doesn't add new stuff until after that first verse. But the stuff it does add, I feel like if you stripped out the Shirley Bassey song, you'd be left with something that's actually still pretty cool. And it's the ever, 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 ever. Ever, ever. Anyway, the next one is Good Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Wake up, Mr. West.
From Graduation. And what hooked me was the Elton John riff. There's that doo, and at the start, I'm trying to figure out, like, what song is that from? Is that from your song? I had it nailed down to it being Elton John. Finally, I had to look it up, and I was like, okay, someone saved my life tonight. But and of course, now that I say that, now that I know it, of course it is. I can't hear anything but that. But I totally dig that, and it really, there's so much stuff that broke me out of the purest mold, like taking not just a sample from a song, but taking entire melodies and lyrics from a song, like Diamonds from Sierra Leone does with Diamonds Are Forever, or Coldest Winter does from Memories Fade. This was a huge thing for me to kind of get over, just get over it, Brian, that musicians do this and you just got to be fine with it. And now I am. I'm happy to announce that I am fine with it. So,
yay.
Speaking of Coldest Winter, that's my next song from 808s and Heartbreak. Initially, like I said, I was so torn. I'm like, I'm a huge Tears for Fears fan. So hearing what initially sounds like somebody forgetting the lyrics to Memories Fade and just kind of substituting their own thoughts to put in its place was kind of a turnoff for me. And then I realized, well, I mean, it's, you know, like you said, if Tears for Fears can accept it and they can perform his lyrics in concert, then I have to be fine with it.
So when they perform it in concert, do they bring out a guest rapper, or do they do it?
Roland Orzabal does the additional vocals. There's some YouTube videos.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's interesting. And boy, you look at the comments for those YouTube videos, and it's 90% people who had Kanye fans who had no idea that this was more or less a cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 90% of a cover. And my fifth one, we both kind of have a bonus sixth one, but my fifth one is School Spirit from the College Dropout.
Oh, hecky no, that boy is raw. AKA Step, Delta Step, SGO Step, Zeta Step, Gangsters Rock, Pimps Gon' Talk. Oh, hecky no, that boy is raw. I'ma get on this TV, mama. I'ma put this down. I'ma make sure these
it's
I love the way you described this cool, one.
What's that?
I love the way you described this one.
Yeah, I mean it's a juxtaposition of melodic rap and Alvin and the Chipmunks backup vocals. I mean, because it's got that Kappa Alpha But then you've got these weird Alvin the Chipmunk style sped up vocals that they've got to keep in melody with, and it's really cool. Plus, you know, like you said, teaches you the Greek alphabet, sort of. You just get alpha, beta, I think gamma, kappa, sigma. You miss quite a few of the Greek letters, but I think it's more about the fraternity and sorority system than it is the than it is actually learning the Greek alphabet.
But yeah, this isn't Sesame Street. This is a college rap song.
Right, exactly. College Dropouts, right there. It's right there in the name. Anyway, School Spirit is my fifth choice. Let's go to your five, and then we'll talk about our joint six.
Okay, so I'll throw this out. When I picked this, I didn't know it was a hit, but yes, it is a hit, and I own it. My first one is Jesus Walks, which is a Stairway to Heaven song. Kind of hard, getting choked by the Texas, yeah, and I check the method. They be asking us questions, harass and arrest us, saying we eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast, huh? Y'all eat pieces of shit? What's the basis? We ain't going nowhere but got suits and cases. A trunk full of coke, rental car from Avis. My mama used to say only Jesus could save us.
Oh, right. Yeah, no kidding. That's funny.
This is the first song that in my listening that made me stand up and notice. I was working and all of a sudden I'm like, all right, I'm bobbing my head to this one. What is this one? What is this that I'm listening to? Mm-hmm. I was super intrigued by it. The message is really cool. I really kind of got on board with this one. And since I made it through the entire catalog, this is one that I've revisited a couple of times since completing the list and doing the notes and, you know, all the show prep stuff. This is one I've gone back to voluntarily and listened to a couple of times.
Okay.
My Way Home from Late Registration. Pray to God that my arms reach the masses. The young smoke grass in grassless jungles. Rubber band together in castless bundles. We wear struggling chains. Divided only hustle remains. Make a sense of it, we hustle for change. Revolution ain't a game, it's another name. But life fighting. Someone to stay in their corner like Mike Tyson. Oh, Jesus Walks is a College Dropout. My Way Home is Late Registration, and I really enjoyed this. It's such a cool mix of the lyric and the sample and that cool kind of bluesy keyboardy sound that he uses to kind of build tension. It's so awesome, and it proves that he's not just messing with lyric. He's also creating it with sound, and I was really this was one of the ones that really impressed me.
Cool.
Then we did Blame Game from Twisted Fantasy, which I really could have just picked all of Twisted Fantasy as my playlist. I'll just throw it out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned that was your favorite album. So.
Yeah. And I can't really put into a short blurb why I love this song, but I do, and I want everyone to go out and listen to it. So it's in the playlist. Go listen to it. It's great. It's got instrumentation. It's got orchestration. It's got lyrical content. I mean, it's a very, as far as rap goes, it's got a very lush orchestration and arrangement to it.
Cool. Okay.
See You in My Nightmares. Now I'm specific. Now in the Spotify playlist, I had to use the album track, but the one I'm going to play during the show is actually the VH1 Storytellers version because I like it a lot more than the album track. Yeah. It's such a great version. It's him. And, he just has kind of given that little inspirational blurb about change. It's a great version of it. And I really enjoy that VH1 Storytellers album a lot more than I thought I would. You in my nightmares, but how did you get there? 'Cause we was once a fairy tale, but this is farewell. I got my life and it's my only one. I got the night. And then my number five is Dark Fantasy from Twisted Dark Fantasy. It's a title track. And this is another one where I'm like, it's just perfectly constructed. It's a song. It's not a rap piece. It's not just rhythms and beats that someone decides to kind of rap over or rhyme over. It's a piece of music that he put together. And
blasted, boring, twisted fiction, sick addiction. nation will gather our children separate lesson.
Can we get much higher?
So high.
It's incredible, and he really does know what he's doing as far as constructing. I don't want to call it just under music for his raps. He actually is creating things that would be interesting as instrumentals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a really cool perspective to say. All right. Yeah. I mean, this is the standout is the rap, but if you strip that away, you'd still have something really good.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Cool. And then we both had a joint sixth because I demanded it because you had in your list before I could put in mine. And that is Paranoid from the 808s and Heartbreaks album.
So paranoid, no. Don't be so paranoid. No. Don't be so. Baby, don't worry about it. Hate it. Don't even think about it. You worry about the wrong thing.
This actually, if I had to rank my playlist, this one would have been my number one track. I really liked Paranoid. It's just such a different style than any of the other things that he had done to that point, and really, really caught my attention.
It felt like it was pulled from like 85 actually.
Except for the auto-tune, but yeah. Everything else about it, yes, totally.
But even if the auto-tune, you could have written that off as a vocoder.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do it as a man, maybe I want to change my cover. I want to see him cover some Peter Frampton, Baby I Love Your Way with the auto-tune instead of the vocoder.
Or The Raven by Alan Parsons.
Right. Oh, love it. Very cool. Yeah, but that was a number one song for me. I really, really liked Paranoid.
Yeah, it was good. And when I loaded the notes up before we started recording and I saw Damn It next to it, I'm like, oh, well, I'm glad I have a bonus track, which is weird that me, of all people, had a bonus track.
Right, with Kanye West. Yeah. I know. It's an odd one.
It's because of the prog connection, I'll be honest.
I did find myself like defending Kanye to a couple people this week. Like when I said what we were doing, friends and family said, yeah, we're listening to Kanye West this week. Like they go, ugh. I'm like, yeah, I know what you're thinking and I know why you're thinking that. And I thought it before I could kind of separate the dude from the music.
Yep.
But,
6 days ago, I felt just like you do.
Yeah. Right. Totally true. Good stuff. All right. Well, that is it for Kanye. Coming up next week. Holy cow. Are we, taking on the Herculean challenge, I'm sure I said that exactly right, of you know, we like to always sneak in a country artist here and there. The country artist that
there's no sneaking with this one. She killed giant worms.
She did. That's right. I forgot about the whole Tremors thing. Yeah, Reba McEntire is going to be our subject of the next episode of Soundography. And how many albums? 20-something?
29, I think. Look, and I'll go ahead and tell you, one of the songs on my list is one of her hits, and I don't care.
Fair enough. All right. I'm just looking to see. Oh, yeah, there's tons. Look at all this.
She's been recording since, like, what, 79?
Yeah, I think so. Wow. All right. Well, no live albums. That's all I can say.
There's a grip of greatest hits and stuff in there too.
So. Yeah, exactly. There'll be a lot that we can skip. Yeah, 1979, Out of a Dream. It's like her high school, might even be her high school photo as the artwork for that album. I guess we'll find out. We'll find out when she went to high school and talk about all that stuff. So Reba McEntire next week. Until then, we encourage you to reach out to us, talk to us, let us know what you think. Hey, do you disagree with Kanye? Do you agree with Kanye? Is there a song that we maybe should have given more attention to? Email us, soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at The Soundography is our handle there. And visit us at soundography.com for everything else. You're going to find the playlist that we put together. You're going to find an Amazon link where you can buy the music you hear. There's no real greatest hits album for Kanye. So I think we'll do we'll either do Dark Twisted Fantasy or 808s and Heartbreak.
Yeah, those are
flip of the coin.
Yeah, those are both two really good picks, I think.
I think so too. Of course, you can also find there our Patreon. You know, for a change, I'm going to tell you, don't feel bad if you can't afford to support us on Patreon. It is totally okay. You know, all the time we do these shows and we talk about Patreon and, oh, we'd love your support and that sort of thing. And we know there are people out there you can't afford to support us. And that's totally fine. We're happy to do the show for you as well. And we don't think less of you than any of our patrons. So for once, I'm actually, and this will be the only time I do this probably for a while, but I'm telling you not to support us on Patreon.
Well, and the thing is, you know, there are lots of shows that, I mean, I'll throw it out there. There are lots of shows that I would love to be able to support, but right now it's not within the budget that I've got. So totally. I support other ways by making sure I tweet out links and share and interact and give reviews and all those kind of things so that people at least know that I'm trying and being supportive in the ways I can.
And speaking of reviews, well done, sir. Yeah, we love your reviews. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, any place where you can post a review and leave us a review there or tell people about the show. We hope it's a positive review, but you know, and if it isn't, just send it to us
for editing.
Maybe don't send it to them, but send it to us. Yeah, for review. We'll review your review. Perfect. We love to hear your feedback for the show. So get it to us in any of those ways. That's going to do it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying that is it for Soundography. We'll see you right here next week.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
That's so Kanye.